What we really need to work on is our own strengths and what we can bring to the table. How can we bring our strengths? And then how can we step up to the plate and show up? And as I said, my three steps are sign up, suit up, and show up. And by far, when I show up is the easiest and the most difficult, right? Because it's in your preparation. But I've showed up even if I haven't always felt like I was ready. And that's where you need the curiosity to ask questions.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand Live Show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
Welcome to another episode of the Your Living Brand Live Show. Welcome back, my wonderful audience. You guys are amazing. Every week, email me, contact me on LinkedIn. You let me know what you like, what you don't like, what you're happy about, and what you're not. And I love it all. So keep following me, keep sharing, and keep listening, everybody. I love that you are part of my audience. So thank you very much. This week, I've got a real firebrand for you. Gail Robertson is joining me. We're going to talk about curiosity is a superpower. So I'm just going to bring her right on and we are going to have a phenomenal conversation. Gail, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. And yeah, pumping up, ready for this to talk about curiosity as a superpower. Indeed.
You and I met, and I'm going to do some shout outs right now to Kurt Anderson and Dan Bicker and the Manufacturing Happy Hour, everybody that's part of that. You and I met through the manufacturing community, which is an incredible community. They are so tight-knit. They really help each other out. And there's so much phenomenal stuff going on that I sat there and went, I've got to talk to Gail. And here we are. So I've been looking forward to this for a while. Let's have a conversation. First of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you come from? Where are you today? And then we'll get to where we're going together.
Okay. Well, I say that I help manufacturers tell their story. And as a recovering journalist, I also use curiosity as part of my three-step process, which is sign up, suit up, and show up. So those are the things that I work with the manufacturers to help get them out of their comfort zone and actually to start stepping into using social media and into this new digital age, which is not that new, but in the manufacturing world, it still is seen as something that they're not always that comfortable participating in. And you were talking about all of these exciting things happening in manufacturing, except a lot of people don't know about it.
It's a great kept secret, I'll tell you that much.
It is. And Kurt Anderson says that when he says, stop being the best kept secret. So I sort of take it from there and say, yep, got you, Kurt. Now the next thing is, how do we do that? So it's a couple of things. One is, we have to start pulling those stories out. Because I don't come from manufacturing, I've been able to see things that they may not always see. And there's a term we talk about in the world that I'm in, which is mostly in mold making and automation and in the plastic injection world, is that the people that make things that make things. When we hear manufacturing, we often think of the end product. People think about the cars rolling off and they see that. Well, there are so many steps leading up to that final product. And it's exciting to see from the tools being made, how much steel is needed. Now we're facing and the issues of supply chain, but supply chain is going to be an ongoing issue. And how do we start getting more people to understand what that means? So when we're talking about issues at the border, that is something that impacts all of us. It's not just the people waiting to get the products crossing the border. It's going to mean a delay to getting the products on our shelves, getting cars. I ordered a new vehicle last summer. It was supposed to come in November, and now it's not coming in until they said February. And I just got a note today that it's ready. It'll be in the end of February. So that's where we're seeing things behind the scenes. So the more we are now, but I can understand why that delay is happening.
Well, something just came to mind. When I was younger, I used to date the niece of the Rear Admiral of the West Coast Fleet. And we used to talk about the Sea King helicopters and what they were known as, 10,000 parts flying in close formation. So we need to think that everything that we make is really made up of parts. There's very few things that we make that we consume that is one true part. I mean, a car's got brakes, it's got tires, it's got wheels, it's got seats, it's got different levels of computers. One of those pieces have to be manufactured. Then they all have to be brought to a certain location for assembly, and the car needs to be assembled. So if one part, say that chipset, is not available, if all of a sudden there's a shortage of chipsets, all those cars can't go off the assembly line. 99.9% of the parts could be available. And if that one thing is not there, guess what? The cars don't roll. So manufacturing and logistics are so intertwined right now, and they always have been, but it's really come to a head. And it's amazing that so few people understand what it takes to make anything. So how do you go about getting that story out of people with the curiosity? Because if we don't tell that story, if we don't get people to appreciate what the challenges are and what the opportunities are, nothing gets done.
Well, and a lot of this, you're right, it's that the parts behind the scenes and also the role of plastic. So this is another area that I'm very focused on, is a lot we hear about the banning of plastics when people don't really understand that issue, because it's really about the disposal of plastics, not that we really want to ban plastics, because plastic is part of medical devices. It's part of everything that we're using all the time, our hard parts. So that's one issue that really sparked my curiosity, because I would have, before getting into this industry, might have thought, yeah, you know, ban some plastic. But once you start asking more questions, and this is where curiosity is really vital. We need to ask more questions. We need to look around corners. And I know this is a bit cliche, but in any business, you have to look at things differently. And I'm now sitting on the board of the Canadian Association of Mold Makers, which I kind of chuckle at it when I tell some of my friends, they're like, what? You know, how did you get on that board of all boards that I was going to get on? But it's been the best learning experience. And what I bring to that board is the outside perspective. So this is where curiosity can come in, because I spend a lot of time working with clients, sometimes trying to get them out of their own way, because they are so close to the story. They're so close to the world they're in that they don't think anyone will care about some of their stories, or they think, oh, that's too simple. And when it comes to looking at how decisions are made from a sales perspective, it's not only the engineer at the end of the process that may be searching and reading up about your company. It could be someone marketing. It could be someone in finance. It could be even one of the owners or the owner's children that are searching. So telling those stories, you need to tell people stories, and you need to tell the simple stories of your industry and explain what is happening. And I'd say the biggest problem at times with people in manufacturing is they don't think they have a story. And that's probably the biggest roadblock. So that is where I come in, because I bring that new perspective. And I often say I bring to manufacturing a new and exciting approach to how we can tell the stories, because we have to tell the stories differently. And we have to think about the different kind of audiences. So it may now be politicians. It's people making decisions about whether they're going to open the border or not. What is considered an essential worker? That was a whole topic that when I was sitting on the board, we had a lot of discussions, did a lot of advocacy work on saying these people behind the scenes in manufacturing, they are essential workers. Because if you don't have the tools to make the plastic products to get the items on the trucks and in our store shelves, we have a problem. So it's connecting the dots.
And that's a big thing. It's connecting the dots, because first of all, the manufacturers themselves, either they feel they don't have a story to tell, which they do, or they assume that everybody understands their story, which they don't. We all know what we do very well. We're in it every day. Every day we're sitting at the pocket, we're doing what we're doing, we get it. And we have this horrible assumption that if we understand what we do, everybody understands what we do. And the problem is most people don't. Most people don't understand the nuance of what other people do or why they should care. And it's the big thing about why should I care? How is what you do helping me achieve my goals? And if we can't paint it in that picture, and if we can't enable people to sit there and say, I have a problem listen, I'm listening to this person's story. They can solve my problem because they've seen that problem before. Great. I need to pick up a phone, or I need to send them an email, or I need to get in touch with them to be able to sit there and say, help. Can you help me? But if we don't tell those stories in ways that people can listen to, understand, and value, nobody's going to come.
Right. And this ties into also telling more of those people stories, because again, when it comes to the world I'm in, mold making, making a tool, okay, here's the metal, here's how the tool is made, but it's the people behind the scenes, the problem solvers. And what we all really need to do is look at what is the problem and how can we provide a solution? And part of providing that solution is telling the story of the people behind the scenes, because it's going to be the mold designers. It's going to be the people looking, the program managers that have had experience at a tryout and seen what works and what doesn't work. And it's going to be the sales team that also has their handle on the client and what they need. And this can apply to so many different industries. So today I'm focused on manufacturing, but I've also worked in the past in insurance and technology, and the same rules apply. I was at a trade show working for travel insurance. And even though I'm not a broker, I wasn't a broker, I didn't know a lot about all the details, but I knew the questions to ask because we were a company that would work with brokers. So home and auto insurance brokers, and we would be able to sell travel insurance for them without them worrying about us stealing their lunch and the others. So I would ask a question like, do you have problems sometimes with people being concerned about pre-existing conditions? And they would stop and they go, yes. And that would start a conversation. And then I'd hand them over to the broker who knew more of the background. So it's those kind of things about sometimes it's the simplest thing. And the people in that industry, they would have never maybe thought to ask that question because they thought, well, everybody knows about that. Well, I proved them that no, they maybe didn't.
Or they hadn't looked at it in that particular way.
Right. It's all about, yes, how you look at it. And when you know too much, you can't sometimes see how much people may need to learn from you, but you have to break it down to basics. People often come to me and I would say, Twitter, for example. Well, now I do own that. Yes, I know Twitter. I can help people with Twitter. But Madeline Sklar is like, but Madeline Sklar also knows. So, but there's enough room for all of us. And she would be definitely, she has a lot of expertise in that area, but I can also work in Twitter. And it's not that I have to say, oh, I can't do it because Madeline is doing it. And I think it was one of your guests on your shows. I just heard this, that we have to really get away from this idea of worrying about our competition all the time. What we really need to work on is our own strengths and what we can bring to the table. How can we bring our strengths? And then how can we step up to the plate and show up? And as I said, my three steps are sign up, suit up, and show up. And by far, when I show up is the easiest and the most difficult, right? Because it's in your preparation. But I've showed up even if I haven't always felt like I was ready. And that's where you need the curiosity to ask questions. You know, in high school, I was asked to cover junior B hockey. I was taking a journalism class and I knew nothing about hockey. I'm talking like zip. I didn't have brothers, so like nothing. And you want me to go cover? I mean, this wasn't even little time. This was junior B and it was kind of a big deal in the town I grew up in. And I said, yes, I'll go cover it. And it's amazing how I asked questions and soon I was writing hockey coverage and covering those hockey games every Sunday night.
It's coming back, and you said something really interesting about it being a people thing. Every company is made out of people. Every customer of yours is made out of people. Every vendor of yours is made out of people. And when we can tell stories that affect other human beings, that touch other human beings, that show them how you care about them, that show you how you could help them, all of a sudden they're going to pay attention because people have challenges. People have issues. People are scared. People are frustrated. People need to have solutions. And if you can tell a story that says it's not about me and not about this widget that I create, but these are the wonderful people that work within my organization and how they work to be able to help you achieve your goals, all of a sudden we're on a human to human basis. But unless you're curious, you're never going to be able to touch those stories and be able to touch people's souls. So how do you go about when you're dealing with a new client and you've never met them before, whether it's hockey, whether it's manufacturing, whether it's anything, to be able to get them to open up effectively, to be able to draw those stories out of them, because it's challenging.
And like anything, it does take time. It takes a building of those relationships, building up of trust. But what I do is go back to what is your goals and objectives. So you have to first start looking at what do you want to accomplish? What do you want to do in terms of, like, it's not a matter of just telling stories for the sake of, oh, that's a good story, you know, have a good laugh. Or it's what is the goal? What is the objective? And then when you're building out those stories, you can always connect it back to their goal. So if their goal is to look at developing their brand, they want to get their name out there, then it's maybe about telling some stories about the company, who's behind the company, how can you personalize it more? So it's not just ABC company, it's actually people behind the name. One of my great clients, I'll do a shout out, is Cavalier Tool and Manufacturing, and they have nailed it in terms of understanding the power of story. Brian Bendig is the son of one of the original owners, but he's taken a company down the road of doing things differently and changing how mold making is seen. And he also has people in place on his team so that they can continue to tell those stories as well. And they're willing to go out and do things a bit differently. They've taken some direction from me as well when they've done trade shows, where it's less about just putting the product on the floor and more about what will draw people into the booth and how can you talk to people, communicate. They did one show in Germany. They were the only Canadian company. So we did a whole hockey theme, Canadian hockey theme, and people were coming into the booth. We had some Canadian beer there. And so it was less about the tools and how to make tools and more about the people, because all the staff were wearing hockey jerseys and it started these conversations. And it got them noticed. That's where, with manufacturing, where they can do something different, step outside what they may seem as the norm. Now, it may not work for all companies. So when I go in, I try to get a vibe on the personality of the company and what they're willing to share, because that may not work for everyone. And that's a really key issue, Ben, is that there's no cookie cutter to this. It's not like I don't go in and say, okay, I think you should do this because it's worked at another company. It's about asking all the right questions. If they weren't comfortable doing that, it's not going to work. So being able to tell your story, you want to tell your story in a way that you're comfortable with that. And my job is to, you're right, help pull those stories out and put it in the context of their goals and objectives. Not all the stories should be about selling and what they want to sell. It's what does your audience need? What are their problems that you can solve? And that comes down to how you can tell a story to show that you can help them with their problems.
Hi, everyone. Do you want to be your best customer's vendor of choice? Do you want to cement relationships with them, add real value, and gain insights that your competitors just can't get? Go to podcasthostforhire.com. That's podcasthostforhire.com. And let's work together to make you the value vendor of choice. And I love the fact that you're saying that there is no cookie cutter approach. If there was a cookie cutter approach, every company would look the same. Every company would be marketed the same. Every company would tell the same story. And they're not. Every company is authentic unto themselves. And we need to differentiate them. Off air, you talked about red M&Ms and a bowl of green. And I love that. I love the fact that there's one red M&M in a bowl of green. I'm going to let you talk about that.
I first heard that story, the red M&M in the bowl of green, from Damon Pastuca, who is someone I cherish that I've crossed paths with, because he talks about how can you stand out, even if you may feel it's uncomfortable, it's difficult. Heck yeah. I mean, if it were easy, everybody would be doing it. And all you have to do is look at how many people are producers and how many people are consumers. Most people are consuming content. So if you want to just blend in and be like everybody else in manufacturing in particular, then just sit back and consume and then wonder why your competition is going to get ahead of you. So this red M&M idea is that you want to stand out. If you're going to go on social media, you have to be able to be willing to step out and do something different and tell some stories. So that has been something that I've used in a few areas of talks that I give, because I hope people can understand the why though. And that goes back to what is your goal? Because if your goal is just to go on social and produce like a checklist, and that's something my company, like with Gail now, I am not a checklist person. So if you're people that want to work with me, it's very individual. And it's also very much about, are we going to have success working together? If I don't feel we can have success working together, then it's probably not the right client for me. If they're going to, especially I used to say this in 2021, but now it's 2022. So if you think social media and using digital is not going to work, then we're probably not going to have the best fit, because I don't know how else you can really share your story without using the tools of the trade that are required to get your word out to a broader audience.
Well, it's interesting that you said the majority of people are consumers of content. Somebody told me the other day that less than 5% of people on social media create original content in any way, shape, or form. That includes people that put out one piece of new and unique content a year. I mean, it is dramatic. The people that are putting ongoing, consistent value add content out there that speaks to an audience and adds value are probably less than 2% if you take a look at it. And I think a lot of that comes down to the fact that people are not curious. People are not curious enough about their audience on their social platform to have conversations with them, to have real conversations with them and push the boundaries, to basically sit there and say, look, you know, assume that you're going to keep doing what you've always done, but you're going to get what you always got if you're lucky. Or have you thought of things this way? And I think that when we can push those boundaries and enable our customers to be curious and enable our customers to question how they've originally done things and maybe there's a better way, I think we can have better conversations. So how do you help your customers who are not comfortable on social media? And most manufacturers aren't. Let's be fair about it. You help them and take them by the hand and say, you know what? This isn't so scary. And here's how you can dip your foot in the pond in a way that gets you comfortable first before we start getting you uncomfortable.
Very good question, because I would say that I don't necessarily look at taking on all comers, because number one, they have to be willing to recognize that they need help and that they want help. So again, that's why my three steps is sign up. So sign up, suit up, show up. But the first step is sign up. That's the first discussion we're going to have.
They have to raise their hand and say, yes, Gail, I need help.
Yes, I need help. And be willing to change maybe how they've been doing things. And then that's the suit up. And that's where curiosity comes in, because then that's where I can come in with the research and I can show you how you can increase your numbers. And I'm able to do that using Google Analytics, using various social media metrics to show them when you're putting content out, you're going to get more attention. You're going to develop your brand recognition, your name will get out there. Now, what will next question I get is, yeah, but how does this turn into selling my product, selling my tools, selling my product? Well, it is over time. And it is a bit like search engine optimization. It's not something that you're going to turn on a switch and within a week or 2 weeks, it will magically happen. It's going to be a layering process, but it's like sales in real life. You have to get out there, talk to people, do some networking. I usually encourage to take part in various networking events, to show up at webinars, to have conversations in the comments section. Some of that I do help with to encourage them, but I also just saw something today on LinkedIn. There was a discussion. I don't know whose page it was, but I know Greg Michio commented as well. The idea of rejection, and no one likes rejection. And that ties into the whole fear idea. People think, if I post something, what if someone doesn't like it? What if they're going to push back? What if they don't like me? And it may happen, but it's also, as in real life, either if you don't take a stand sometimes and let people know what your position is, then you just blend in. You're just that vanilla. And the best compliment I had one time is someone said, well, Gail, you're not vanilla, right? So as my client once said to me, it's important to speak truth to power. And I think that's something I like to say that I do well. I've been very blessed with having amazing bosses who encourage that. And it taught me a really good lesson that I want to work with clients who will accept that I'm not probably just going to say, yes, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I will push back. I'm going to give another perspective. At the end of the day, they're paying the bills, so they can obviously make the final choice. I get that. And I'm not going to get in an argument with them. But it's important to recognize, we were talking earlier, there's a line that I use that I'm not everybody's cup of tea, but I may be your shot of tequila. That's something that I like to promote. If someone's going to be looking to get help to tell their story, okay, they may even be listening and go, oh, no, we do not want that kind of attitude. We do not need her energy. Or there may be someone that goes, wait a minute, I want someone that will tell me the truth. I want someone that's going to come to the table with a different way of looking at things and be able to feel comfortable speaking up. Again, I had this one boss one time. He was great. And he knew me to be pushing back. And I said one day, I said, okay, fine. And he says, no, not fine. What do you mean by fine? And he was all worked up because I said, fine. I said, here's what I mean. I don't agree with your decision on this, but it's not something that I'm going to make a big deal about.
This is not the hill I'm willing to die on.
This is not the hill. So I said, fine, because I'm going to do it because it's like, man, okay, we're not going to agree on everything. But I said, you'll know if I really disagreed, I wouldn't say fine and go ahead. But I was like, also not going to say, oh yeah, that's a great idea when I don't think it's a great idea. I'm going to tell you what I believe. And it's having that kind of open discussion that's so important. And that's where I've been able to niche with my business and work with people that I will say, listen, I'll go to the wall for you. I'm very excited about working in manufacturing. Work with people who want to embrace curiosity and also want to embrace my version of curiosity, which is coming back. If I'm not clear on something, I'm going to come back and ask those questions because I'm not going to run off and spend 2 weeks on something only to find out that, oops, that's not what you're looking for. I've used this also recently with a young woman I was doing some mentoring with. And I said, it's a sign of strength to say, I don't know. It's a sign of strength to say, I need help. That's what I don't mind doing. And when I was a manager of staff, I also encouraged them. I said, always know I will see you as a much stronger, dynamic part of the team if you come and ask me the question and not go and assume that you understand.
I love that. And we all want clients, or at least you and I both want clients that not only think that we are the red M&M or we're the tequila, but they want to be the red M&M and they want to be the tequila. As I tell people, there's 7.5 billion people in this world. 99.9% of them will never know I exist. And I could care less. I truly could care less. If I could deal with 0.1% of humanity and get those people to understand the value that I provide, at least have the conversation, I could be a billionaire. And that is reality, is that there are so many people and so many opportunities out there. We need to find the ones and the people that resonate with our message. And to the people that are scared about being curious and scared about putting content out there that may be a little challenging, that may be a little provocative, realize this: is the people that push back are your greatest assets, because those are the people that you're going to learn from. And you're going to say, I hadn't thought of that before. I hadn't thought of that perspective before. That's great. And you want to engage those people and say, hey, what did you mean by that? That's great. I love the fact that you're challenging me on this. What did you mean by that? And how can we make this better? And I think that that's where we get back to the curiosity, is that we need to care about our customers. We need to take a look, sit there and go, okay, what do they care about? What's important to them? What do they need? What's going to make their lives better? How can we do that? So you and I do this for the different clients that we support, but it's up to them to turn around and push the mirror in the other direction and be able to take a look and sit there and be curious about their customers. I love that.
Yeah. And you know what, Ben, this is listening to your show and anybody who is listening now, I strongly encourage you to go back and listen to some of these earlier shows. You have some amazing guests. So I've learned so much and I obviously feel extremely privileged to be one of your guests. And there is so much to go around. And it comes down to, do you believe that there is enough, or do you believe that you have to, like, oh, there's competition and they're going to, and you can sit back and say, oh, there's someone else, they're going to do this work. But no one can bring to the table your own specific energy, your personality, your drive, your interest. And then the next step, like you said, is what is it that the end user, the audience finds important? And that's something I think we both do, is that it's not the stories we want to tell. It's not what I think is important. It's what does the end reader care about? So going back, that started in high school. When I was covering that hockey, it's like, I had to think about the readers out there. And I learned this from some great mentors, including the publisher and editor of the papers, that it's not only the hockey experts reading this, it will be some general public. It's going to be the parents. It's going to be people that may not know a lot about hockey as well. So often when making decisions, and I see this a lot, but I saw it in insurance too, I see it in manufacturing, is that sometimes people sitting around a table want to tell the stories that what they care about. And I try not to say this in a rude way, but I'm sorry, it's not really what you care about or how you're reading the article. It's like, who's reading this right now? And this is where Google Analytics and looking at your stats as to who's coming to your website. Who are the people that may be interested in learning about your brand? It could be future employees. It could be the engineers, but again, it could be someone working in HR, marketing. There's so many different people that are looking at this.
And it could be a company wanting to buy you.
And there's so many different people, right? So it comes down to making sure you're sharing the stories that will resonate with, also going back to what is your goal with those telling those stories, right? So it's not just a vanity project. It's not like, oh, let's go say how great we have this new piece of equipment. Let's talk about how great it is. And I'm always saying, why will the customer care? Why do they care? Like, this is a great machine. You're telling me it works great, but oh, it's going to reduce the amount of time. Okay, now it reduced the amount of time. So now you can get their product out to them. You can get that tool made to go to the molder who can then get it to market by a week or two earlier, which can make a big difference. So now this equipment starts to make sense. It's not just that it's shiny and bright and it goes at whirs at whatever RPMs, because that's nice if you're out and you care about that piece of equipment. But most of the customers will want to know, why are you sharing? Why did I stop to read this? Why am I on YouTube watching this video?
Why is it important to them?
Yeah. What's in it for me? And meaning what's in it for them? Because that's what they care about.
So let's land this, because you and I could talk about this for another hour. But first of all, two questions. One, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you? Just so people can find out if they're in the manufacturing industry and they're looking to tell their story better, they know how to get in touch with you.
I would say probably the first place, go to my LinkedIn. I do a weekly LinkedIn live show. It's Show Up with Gail Now Live. It's every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I interview people in manufacturing, but also people that outside of manufacturing that show up, because we can sometimes learn from other people that aren't just in our own industry. In fact, that is probably the best way sometimes to learn. So I would say LinkedIn. I also have a business page at Gail Now, but you can connect with me on LinkedIn. My website is gailnow.com. And if you Google Gail Now, you will find me on a few places. Twitter is another place that I'm fairly active. And also I'm on TikTok now, mostly short form video. Because of the world I'm in, I always like to know a little bit about all the platforms, but I don't recommend my clients be everywhere. I said, sometimes you have to choose your best focus. So yeah, so Twitter, LinkedIn, I do have all my previous shows are on YouTube as well.
Perfect. And we'll make sure we have a link to everything in the show notes at yourlivingbrand.live. So here's the question I ask, and I ask this to everybody as they walk out the door. When you leave a meeting, and you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not in the room?
Probably that I am someone who is a force to be reckoned with. And I once was told that I can come in guns a-blazing and you're either going to love that about me or not. So I think I want them to think we need guns a-blazing. We need someone who is like the gale force winds that will come in here and help us change how we're doing things. She's going to help us tell her stories. And she is going to not only talk about her three-step process, but she also is going to live, eat, and breathe it along with us.
I love it. Gail, thanks for being the red M&M. Thanks for being the shot of tequila. You have been a joy to talk to. And I'm sure people are going to get a lot out of this interview. So thank you for your time and your energy.
Thank you.
This has been the YourLivingBrand.live show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at yourlivingbrand.live and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level. Contact us for a 30-minute consultation at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. Thank you again for listening and sharing. Tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?